Mayor. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's 11 a.m. and we're convening the city county. I guess we call it just kind of a work session. We have invited usually is the mayor of Grants Pass, the council president from Grants Pass and the city manager of Grants Pass. Also the three county commissioners. Today we have Commissioner Beartrager, Commissioner DeYoung, and I see Mayor Bristol is on board. Mayor, do you have anybody else joining you for this morning?
Yes, I'm expecting Aaron at City Hall and I think Valerie Lovelace was going to be with him. I'm not sure about DJ.
Okay. Shall we wait just a couple of minutes? We've got a couple things on our agenda. All of them are coming from the city. So I think it'd be helpful if we can just wait just a few minutes to see if they come on board. Do you agree?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Good enough. Yeah, Commissioner Fowler is not here this morning. He wasn't at our Cajor talk show either this morning. So he's off to a meeting or something, I guess. We're not allowed to talk to each other, so we don't know what each other's doing.
Right. That's the bad side of having only
two. You have eight, so it's five that can't get together. We have three, so it's just two. I say hi to Herman in the hallway. Whoop. Oh, you were making a decision. Nice day. Hey, how about it, Herman? Pretty nice day. Yep. Oh, you made a decision.
Can't get him to agree that it's a nice day.
It's a little tedious, you know, but that's the way it goes.
There's Aaron.
We agreed it was a nice day, and that's a quorum.
There's a quorum.
We've been here, but we were not as a panelist. So I was able to just watch you guys talk and I couldn't say anything. I was jumping up and down and dancing and you didn't even see it.
I didn't see it. Yeah, you might turn on a camera there, Aaron, and we'd be all set. So do you have anybody else you know that's going to be there? I think Mayor said Councillor Lovelace and maybe Councillor Fraser would be with us this morning.
Yes, Councilor Lovelace is here. She should be stepping in any second. And Council President is on his way.
Is that a beard you're trying to grow there? Is that a beard you're trying to grow?
No, it's...
There you go.
No, yeah, it's my... Yeah.
A little gray there, Aaron. Just a little gray.
You didn't get to see him dancing.
Yeah, I'm definitely more gray than what I was 10 years ago when I first got here, I tell you. I'll put some of that on you, Commissioner.
Funny how public service ages you, to be honest with you.
I have one up here.
Starting right there. That's where it starts, Mayor. Right there. That's where it started for me, was right there. See what happens? I don't have a forehead. I have a five head, my wife says. Love her to pieces. Even after 52 years, I still find some of the things she says are funny. Okay, well, I think we've got enough here to get started. The city topics today. The county doesn't have any topics today. We were at AOC conference last week, so we didn't really get any business done at all. We've got a pretty full agenda for the 3 days leading up to Thanksgiving, and then, of course, we're going to try to kind of wind her down for the holidays and the end of the year. But the city topics this morning, number one is the airport. I've invited Jason Davis. He's our airport director, just to kind of be in and listen to the conversation because it is about the airports. And so I'll let you kick it off, Mayor. What do you got? What's on your plate today?
Well, some of the council had concerns about, I guess, the cost of the airport runway expansion and our contribution to it, and what the county's contribution is. And I think at one point earlier this year, we had agreed to pay $175,000 over the course of 5 years, and we paid a portion of it for this year, but some council members are questioning, I guess, whether they want to continue with that.
Did you say that was 175 for over 5 years or for each of 5 years?
Over the course of 5 years.
Okay.
4 years?
4 years, yes. It's 4 years.
4 years, Valerie says. 4 years.
4 years. So that would be 175 divided by four would be your annual?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure we're talking the same thing.
Yeah, 4 years.
So One of the questions that Jason may be able to help with was about the hangar rentals. Do you have any sort of statistics on how many people who own planes that are there at the airport are Grants Pass residents?
Gosh, just about everybody. I mean, there's a lot of people in the rural area around Grants Pass, but most of the hangar owners up here are Grants Pass residents. I don't have an exact number. Do we have an exact number for that? No, I don't think we do. I Larry speculated. I think he wanted to say it was like 47% of the hangar owners up here are from Grants Pass in the city itself, and then the rest are actually in the rural areas around Grants Pass. So, you know, up here by the airport or...
We also split because we have two airports. We have Grants Pass Airport and Illinois Valley Airport. Most of the people out in the valley in the IV area, they have their planes hangered out at IV.
Right.
Limited amount of hangers. What, there's six hangers out there in that one pod down on the end, or eight hangers?
There's 2-seat hangers on the north end of the airfield. There are, I think, 11 airplanes in those hangers right now. Okay.
And then we have some
and there's a couple other airplanes. But yeah, for the most part, everybody actually... everybody in Illinois Valley is hangered in Illinois Valley. We don't have anybody at the Grants Pass Airport that lives out in the valley. So,
yeah. Okay. And how many hangars do you have rented hangars at Grants Pass Airport total?
So county, we have 47, 49 county owned. Okay. So the total is 127. 49 of those are county owned hangars.
All right. Now, when you say county-owned hangars, in other words, they are part of our inventory for Josephine County. The other hangars are those private hangars that they built themselves, and then they have a ground lease underneath them, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
It was 125 total?
127 total.
So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I clarify the numbers. 127 hangars total, 49 of the hangars are what?
They're owned by the county airport department. They're owned by the county.
They're county-owned hangars.
Yeah.
And we the other hangars are leased from private. Do you have an open or closed fenced airport?
Closed. It's all fenced.
And then we understand that you're spending a significant amount of ARPA dollars towards the airport. Are you able to elaborate on... what's going on there?
Yes, we have many projects going really at both airports, but most of the ARPA money is concentrated at the Grants Pass Airport. One of the bigger things that we're working on and probably the most important right now is actually the fuel tank. We're replacing our aged Jet A fuel system and putting a new above ground tank, getting rid of the in-ground tank. It's at the end of its lifespan, so that's you have to forgive me. We have so many projects going on. I'm probably not going to get these numbers exactly right. I believe it's going to be 800,000. I'm being told over my shoulder. So 800,000 to replace that system. A lot of that money is coming from ARPA. Some of that is Oregon Department of Aviation Corps grants. We have the environmental assessment happening right now for the runway extension. That is being covered by the funds that the city and the county have put towards the runway extension project. We're also, the FAA has not agreed to do the full runway length, extend the runway the full length yet. We're trying to get 1,500 additional feet to bring us to 5,500 feet of runway. FAA has agreed to do 700 feet as of right now. So we have asked for ARPA funds to cover the environmental assessment for the remainder of the runway extension. One of the reasons that the FAA has not agreed to do that yet is because they won't take into account the effects that COVID has had on flying in the last year and a half. We've had a significant drop in flying because of COVID, but it is picking up. I couldn't tell you exactly how much yet because I haven't really been able to calculate that just yet, but based on fuel sales and things like that, flying is definitely trending back up. And so our hope is that we can present this information to the FAA and that they will agree to do the full length runway extension based on the data, the operations that we have here at the airport. So I think that'll be an easy one to convince them. But for now, we have to pay for the additional environmental assessment that's not covered in the 700 feet. We have to pay for the additional 800 feet worth.
Is your EA go all the way out to 1500 feet?
It does, but we have to pay for 800
right. feet. You have to pay beyond what the 700 that they're off. Okay.
Yeah, the AIP grant from the FAA.
If we're doing an environmental assessment that it's going to be inclusive of the total length.
Yes, correct.
And then also coming out of COVID, you've got a whole different set of numbers. They used a set of numbers right during COVID.
Right.
And they said, well, you just don't have the air traffic. Well, of course we didn't have the air traffic. Nobody right. moved at all. So now coming out of COVID, your numbers are looking a lot better and more, I guess, indicative of what is actually happening out there. I wanted the record also to show that Councilor DJ Fazer just showed up. Thank you, sir, for coming in. And we also have Valerie Lovelace in the city's conference room, just to let people know who's on board for the reflecting the minutes.
Jason, maybe what we ought to do is offer a tour for any city council members.
Absolutely.
Yep. A tour out there, and we could give them a tour.
Yeah, it really helps to have eyes on what we're talking about and, you know, really get the, you know, the big picture of what we are trying to accomplish up here and how it will affect, you know, the surrounding communities. So.
The one good thing about this airport that we forget, Jason, is the expansion potential we have out here because of the lands that we own. So there's a lot of room for improvements and expansion, which is a good thing because there's a lot of airports that don't have that luxury. And for the city council members, I've been part of that airport since 1979. I still have an airplane out there. And I served for many years on the airport board, and I forget how many years I chaired it. So I'm pretty close to that airport.
Currently liaison from the county board to the airport. Mayor, you have your head up?
I just wanted to clarify, the environmental assessment is for the entire 1,500 feet, including the 700 that has already been approved.
So let me try to break this down. It gets a little confusing. So the FAA is going to cover 700 feet of the environmental assessment. We are covering the additional 800 feet at a cost of $113,000 that we've applied for ARPA funds to cover. So yes and no. Yes, we're doing the entire environmental assessment for the full 1,500 feet extension. But as far as costs, no, they're not. They're split because we can't pay for the, we can only pay for with AIP funds, the portion of the runway extension that the FAA has agreed to do.
So the cost of the environmental assessment is $113,000 for that extra.
No, so it's actually total cost. It's going to be almost $500,000. So the FAA is paying $375,000. And we're paying $113,000.
Okay, so, because I just thought that earlier that was the part that the city funds were helping pay for.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So unless I understood it wrong, we're taking, so the county has also, the commissioners have also agreed to $150,000 a year for 5 years towards match requirements for this project. And so, Your funds are, I believe, also intended to cover the match requirements for this project. And so that's what those funds are for. Up to this time, we haven't actually used any of those funds yet. So it's that money is not going to go towards paying for the EA for the additional. That's why we applied for an ARPA grant for that portion. If that makes sense.
Okay, and then the other question the council had was just, how important it is, or whether it's important to have a partnership with an entity beyond the county in order to receive that FAA grant.
Jason?
I think it's really important. I mean, I don't know how you guys view this, but I view this as my home. I actually live in Cave Junction myself. I view this entire area down here as one big family, one big community. So you know, just because you go out of the city limits into a rural area around Grants Pass doesn't make it any less Grants Pass, in my opinion. And I think having a partnership with all of us, the county and the city, makes a lot of sense to accomplish the goals that all of us have towards expanding our community, jobs, infrastructure, all of those things. As a matter of fact, I could kind of segue into the, one of the other things that we're looking at is getting potable water or a water main to feed up to the airport. And that would be huge, not just for the airport, but also the surrounding community in the future when you guys were ready to start servicing that area. So all these things work together. I mean, we have flights in and out of here every day for people that are going downtown to Grants Pass that don't even live here, let alone the people who access the airport that do live in Grants Pass. So I think it's a great partnership. I think it's something that we should all be, in my opinion, we should all be working together. County, city, you know, Southern Oregon, we should all have common goals and we should all be able to work together in those ways.
Okay. DJ, you had your hand up?
Yeah. Yes, sir. So, Jason, I believe you might have already answered this question, but my question would be the monies that are going towards the extra 800 feet for that environmental assessment, does that go towards the matching grant requirement for the entire project?
That does not right now. That's why we applied for ARPA funds for that.
Okay.
So up to this point, again, I'll just say we haven't used the matching. We're really a couple things I'm really watching. Obviously, we have some economic hardships that we're facing as a nation right now. So I'm watching inflation. I'm watching all these things, and I'm hoarding our match money, if that makes sense. So the monies that you guys are so graciously offered us, and the money that we're getting from the commissioners, we're keeping a really tight, keeping that real close, and making sure we're using it for match money for the grants. And I think that's where we really need to be with that, because I'm not sure how expensive the project will get. I'm hoping everything will actually calm down. As it stands right now, even if the price of the project went up a little bit over the next 5 years, that's about the timeline this would be completed. We have enough matching funds for the grants between what the county has contributed and what the city has contributed. I hope that, does that answer your question? Or
it does, thank you. Okay.
One of the things I think that's very, very important that the city and the county both be in lockstep on this is that any of the representatives, or if it's, you know, Congressman Benz or Congressman DeFazio or Merkley, Wyden, anybody that asks, you know, ask somebody from the city, what's your thoughts on the Grants Pass Airport? Yeah, we're not interested in it. That's a county issue. We've all got to be on the same page with the same answer, or it doesn't fly, so to speak. Play on words. You know, when you get two entities that are not pulling the wagon at the same time and they're in the same entity, you know, the same geographical area, it makes it look like for some reason one entity is not interested in helping the other one, whether it be that, you know, my daughter was married to your son and they split up, so therefore that type of a thing, you know, because politics is really gets ugly every once in a while, and we don't want that in along. I think we need to both realize the importance of this runway extension and what it means to all of our vicinity, all of our area, and you know, see if we can, you know, whatever. I don't know how, and maybe you can tell me, that's a little detail, but the infrastructure package that just seemed to, that passed, I didn't know if there was anything that might be, there was pot of money in there for airports. Did they line out?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. We got it. We're digging through that. You got to remember that was 4,700 pages long. And I kind of breathed through the summary. There may be some pots of money in there. So we got it.
Yeah.
But Jason, is the airport still on the sectional as Grants Pass Airport?
It is. Yes. Correct.
Okay, so it's not Josephine County Airport. It's not Hampshire Field, which that is the real name.
Right.
It's Hampshire Field. So it's still called Grants Pass Airport. That's how it's recognized on the sections.
Yep.
Well, when I was a kid, Washington Boulevard was the airport.
I was just going to say that the airport actually used to be right there in Grants Pass. So
there's a guy here in town.
And you got us. you got an autograph from Orville and Wilbur too.
Yeah, well, right? at least two wings. But no, they had there was a gentleman here named Buck Shaw. He had a ready mix plant over on West Park or East Park Street, and he was also a Mooney airplane distributor, you know, a dealer. And he used to take my dad and I was just a little shaver, and we'd go up to the airport. The Lantern Cafe up there had a lantern on top, had a beacon on top of it.
That was the FBO.
Yep, and that's that was quite a deal there. But we used to go fly around the valley, and that was when the valley was much smaller then. Actually, it was the same size, but it was less inhabited. But so that goes back long. But EJ, you had your hand in the air, sir.
Yeah, given that we're kind of in closing remarks on this conversation, for what it's worth, gentlemen, I believe in the cooperative benefit of the city and the county work together, and you have my support.
Thank you.
Good. Looks good. Okay, so is that all the topic on the airport topic? Next one up is federal grant money for fire prevention.
Yeah.
Mayor, is this yours?
This is mine.
Okay.
So I had a recent conversation with a federal level risk manager, and he's made me aware of federal grant monies for fire prevention in Oregon. I believe it's a 2-year program that we're about 6 to 7 months into already. And outside of that conversation, I decided to bring that to this meeting today to ask you guys if you're aware of those federal grant monies, that program, because it seems like a very simple program. You meet requirements, you apply, simple grant kind of stuff. Are you aware of any of those federal grants for fire prevention in our area?
There's always stuff like that popping up. And, you know, does the city have a full-time grant writer, or who writes your grants?
Yes, we do.
And what do we have, Dan, because I'm ignorant of this, for a grant writer with the county?
We had a full-time grant writer, and then now we have just kind of, you know, people that write grants. That's not a position that we have filled at the moment, no.
So one of the big problems with grants is finding them, locating, you know, literally finding them. They're out there, and this transportation package, there's a 60-page summary on it, and I'm looking through it. There's looks like to me like there's all kinds of buckets of money for stuff. We really need to find, maybe we can find a coordinator that we can share between the city and county, that's all they do is find this stuff. Because that's the biggest challenge, is find out where it is and, you know, identify the program. Once you identify the program, it's pretty easy to apply for it. But it's just finding them that can be challenging.
Sure. Well, allow me the opportunity to look into that a little bit more, because I think we can all agree that fire prevention is very important in this community. And given that, you know, the city would benefit from a prevention grant as well as the greater county area, allow me to look into that a little bit and see what we can't do to work together on finding and securing some of that prevention money. Council has been explicit about its perceived importance on these things. So I'll look into that and I'll get back with you guys.
Thank you. Okay. That'd be great.
Meanwhile, we'll canvass our staff to see who is, you know, if we're going to contribute, we want to contribute at a level that's going to be worth it. You know what I mean? I think that one of the things that I'm excited about is they always talk about fire suppression, not prevention. This is the first I've heard about fire prevention. You know, you go up to the Oregon Department of Forestry, oh, we're going to buy 12 new helicopters and this many more of this. And I thought, to put the fire out when you're not putting any money into making sure the fire doesn't start in the first place and fast attack. You know, you wait until the fire gets big enough and everybody's making money, then we're going to go out and put it out. And I think the prevention side of it's exciting to hear. Thank you, DJ, for bringing that up. We'll get home with Emily Ring. She's our emergency manager. See if she's got any background on this, Herman.
Sure.
We'll write that down.
Well, I'll take the ball with that a little bit and run with it. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 3 is trail easement of Dollar Mountain. So we still have that chunk of ground up there. Are you talking about an easement through our...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if I can take that, that's a request that come from Councilor De La Grange. There's been some conversations of interest in those lands, but given it's contiguous to Dollar Mountain, one of the concerns is the progression and investment into that trail system and it being kind of an integral part of that area, a question was arisen by Councilor De La Grange about the possibility of allowing easements for trails in the Dollar Mountain. And I believe the spirit of this request is just to keep the conversation going about that perceived importance of that tax lot inside of the Dollar Mountain area.
So one of my concerns with this whole, we just got done talking about fire prevention. One of the things, and for those that may not know, that's my wheelhouse. I'm still a level three instructor in fire science, wildland fire science. But one thing that we have to be careful as municipalities is when we create these open spaces and introduce trails and we invite the public into a fire environment during fire season, that has been a problem. So just, I'm not saying don't do it, but that can be a real problem. And I'll give you one of the examples down in California above Montecito, one of the biggest fires that they had down in that area that almost took out Montecito was from a hiker who decided she didn't want to litter and she burnt her toilet paper during fire season. So these are, when you invite the public in there, unfortunately, the public isn't always highly educated and aware of the fire dangers. So keep that in mind as you open up these places and invite the public during fire season.
And job creation, we could have somebody at the trailhead making sure that the hiker didn't have toilet paper.
Yeah.
That's how we picked it. I'm just kidding. Mallory, you had your hand in the air.
I did have my hand up because I know that DJ mentioned that Brian had brought it up yesterday, but I also have had the opportunity to talk with Tori Middlestadt, who is our new destination marketing organization executive director. And I know that she also has put in and asked very seriously about the recreational easement, because this particular piece, the main one, is on the main trail. And she was thinking, I mean, she has been working with, and I know the city has been working on permitting with Emily Ring and the people from the county. So they've been going through the permitting part. They have worked with, I think, Emily with the emergency management and the fire. So they've had that discussion. It's been brought up. So it is coming from them as well. I will also remind you that we did get a big grant from the Forestry Service for fire prevention. And they have been, Great Back has been working up there this past year, and they will this next year, working with fire prevention. And that was a part of everybody coming together on Fire Mountain as city, county, just as we were talking about before, everybody coming together with a plan for that mountain. So when we went out to the committees that deal with the bikeways and walkways, which is a county city, the parks, and also the Dollar Mountain Management, whoever that group is, they were all really, saying that we really need to work to keep that trail open, because this is a big marketing thing for Southern Oregon region. And, you know, I know Survey's been working at trying to get more grants for Dollar Mountain. We got the Oregon Travel Industry grant, which is, we've been working with the county on that. So I do think that recreational easement is a huge part of our cooperating to keep this moving forward.
Could we view that trail as increased access in the event of a fire, that trail would provide access?
On our property, Dan, I'm not familiar with our property. Do we have timber holdings on there, or is it basically manzanita and stuff?
It's just manzanita, and I don't know what all is up there, but if it's typical Devil Slide.
It's Devil Slide property?
Yeah, it's in Dollar Mountain. And we have a block up there on top. The value would be on a cell tower or something of that sort up there. There's one, I think, on right off of it. I'd have to look at the map again.
I just worry about having timber holdings and then expose it to another ignition source during fire season that we don't need. But if we don't have timber holdings, I'm not too worried about burning up manzanita and stuff. And I know a lot of you, it might shake your head and everything, but you listen, I've worked on fires all over the Western United States, and in many capacities, and it's amazing. Remember, there's only two things that can start the fire, lightning and people. Lightning and people, that's the two things. When I say people, that includes improvements that people have made. So like power lines and stuff. So that's why I get a little, you got to be careful, because especially getting a fire, a wind-driven fire in that country, that could have some big impact on the city of Grants Pass, because houses are just another fuel model. Fire doesn't know that they're not trees.
Commissioner DeYoung, will you allow me to share screen real quick, and I'll show you a map of what we're talking about?
Sure. Do you have the map? There you go. Okay, Herman, see anything up there? It's inside that block.
Mm-hmm.
The red, I think, red, isn't that a cell tower site, Aaron?
Yeah, that is the cell tower, yes.
Okay, and that's in your purview. The map, it's on quite a bit, a little bit off to the, it looks like it would be the east.
Yeah, they do. And yeah, it's surrounded by City of Maffitt and then touches BLM. And then talking about the existing trail, this is just an overlay of the existing trail. Your property that we just looked at is property number, designated as property number 8. And the existing trail is shown in red that runs along the ridge. The other colored trails are ones that we're looking to develop under phase one. And that's why some of the council members have addressed and want to address with the Board of Commissioners the importance of this. This is a key part of the trail going up to the cell tower. And it is a main part of that that is currently in existence.
So let me ask you something. How come you want to put a mid-slope trail in when you already have a ridge trail?
So my understanding, and it's not a fully educated understanding, but looking at the trail system, I would state that the development of the trails to be a recreational hub for the region would require some different type of trails and skill sets of trails. So number 7 would provide for a different trail experience than number 8, whether you're a pedestrian or you're a mountain bike. And so having that versatility provides for additional attraction for a multitude of skill sets.
I would also like to add, just because I am familiar with this, is that the red trail and the orange trail is a walking trail that goes up. But what they want is for both bikers and walkers, but they want to develop further for mountain bikers to be coming down. You do not want to be a walker and having mountain bikers coming down the same path you're going up. So, and this was, like I said, this has been developed by that, whoever works for the national parks, as a means for the whole Southern Oregon region to become a recreational hub economically. And so the trail is designed so that the red and the orange is walking up, but the green ultimately will be for mountain bikers to do mountain biking on. So the mountain biking trails will be separate from the walking trails. And this is, like I said, this is the phase one, but that's what they're looking at. And there, another idea is the more you have it developed and people are using it, the less apt you are to have people up there who might be setting fires. Because I personally would not bring toilet paper if I knew a lot of people were using that trail. I wouldn't. So I think it's a matter of you're going to have fewer people just going up on their own. And that trail is used a lot, I will tell you now.
Aaron, could you go back to the other picture, please?
Sure.
And Mayor, you have your hand up. I recognize it.
So when I look at this picture of the Josephine County property, most of that is the southern aspect, southern and western, which will cure very early in the season. And the predominant wind for this area comes from about 320 degrees, which would be about up. If you look at that page where it says where the Grants Pass logo is, that's where the wind would normally blow from. And I would say in anything above a 10-mile-an-hour wind, you wouldn't catch this fire before it got to town. And I could run a computer program on that to show you that.
But I'm first off, Mayor, you had your hand in the air, and then I have a comment as soon as we're done.
So just so you know, that's what you got going on out in that country.
I just wanted to make sure that you understood kind of the situation we have here, where that property is actually up for auction right now, and the bids are due November 30th, which is next week. And it's, you know, it's this important part of the trail system. And we're confused, I guess, partly about the pricing system here, where we have the real market value listed as, you know, just under $10,000, but the minimum bid on the property is listed at $70,000. Did I say million a second ago? I meant thousand if I said million. Anyway, that we're confused about the price disparity there, and also just why the county is listing this property up for auction, because we were hoping that you were a partner in this Dollar Mountain project and that you understood the importance of the trail network to tourism and quality of life issues here in Grants Pass and Josephine County for our local residents. So trying to figure out even just why it's up for auction, I guess.
Could you put that price thing back up on there, Aaron?
Yeah, sure. Hold on. Is it on?
Yeah, there you go. Woodlot Resource, I don't think you're ever going to get timber in it to grow up there. I don't know if Manzanita is considered woodlot, but I guess it is zoned as Woodlot Resource. That's where it's going to stay. My question is where is access to that property? How would you gain access to that? In other words, when you have a piece of ground, there has to be a way into it somehow. And I don't see where that way into it is.
It's just trail only right now. It doesn't have a road.
So in other words, if somebody were to buy this, they're going to have to negotiate with the city, the Mappets, the city or the Mappets. They can't come through from Joe County property off to the northeast or northwest. Prices, you can't get to it from them. So I don't know where the $70,000 minimum bid price came from. So I'd have to look into that. I'm going to go back and I'm going to make a statement here that I think is important to note, is that the city bought Dollar Mountain so that they could at least do something to mitigate the wildfire threat coming from that side. Herman, when you're talking about, well, the winds are going to do this, winds are going to do that, so on and so forth, they've been up there brushing and clearing stuff and making an attempt that wasn't going to be made by the prior owner, and it wasn't going to be made by the county, and it wasn't going to be made by anybody else. At least now with the trail system in there, you've got people up in there that are interested in not in keeping it pristine and are willing to get up in there. It's just kind of like the old Steve Fork Trail. You know, everybody's, oh, yeah, well, the government takes care of that. It wasn't the government. It was the people that used Steve Fork Trail in the Wilson Lake and Azalea Lake out there in the Applegate area. It was those people that took care of it. It wasn't the government. And I think that, you know, the fact that this is going to be used, I'm not a hiker and a biker. You know, I'm not even going to tell you how I know about this from the back end of a Yamaha 400, but I guarantee you that I think it's a good, you know, I'm not with the city anymore. I don't know if I would have voted to buy this, but now that it is purchased, now we've got to make the very best of it that we can. And I'd love to see the city buy that section of ground from us, but I don't know where. You know, I see your concern with 98.50 on market value, and then 70,000 minimum for something that doesn't have any access.
Access can be gained because in the state of Oregon, no land can be landlocked. So that access is not an issue. You'll find access.
Well, is it our obligation to find access to this piece of property for the new buyer?
No.
Buyer, he's going to walk around to the Mappets and to the city and to, that's it, the Mappets in the city and say, I demand access from somewhere.
Well, it's the most practical access is what the courts will look at. What's most practical. And you have to buy it. You don't get it for free.
Yeah, it's a very extensive and expensive process. The person that's getting the access has to pay attorney fees on both sides also. So it is a relatively expensive and difficult process to obtain access to a landlocked piece of property, but not impossible.
So when I bring up the fire stuff, I'm not trying to kibosh anything. I think it's great. I totally understand we need some, that's fine. I got it. What I'm looking at it from a fire manager's lens is that if you let 100 people into that property on a red flag warning day, as a fire manager perspective, I look at that as 100 sources of ignition. So when on a red flag warning day, and you have a probability of ignition 8 or 10, that, think of it like this. If on an 8 or a 10 fire ignition day, that means 8 or 10 out of 10 matches will start a fire, the probability of ignition. So I'm just telling you how I look at it as just a different perspective from a fire manager's position. And I'm just telling you, the way it is now, nobody's up, you know, Josephine County, there's not that many people up there. The more people, more chances of ignition.
The more exposure. The more exposure, but also the trail system would allow more access in the event of a fire. Maybe, maybe not.
I will also say this, and this is coming from talking with Tori Middlestadt, who has been in touch with Pratt Park, who is the city, people who are right now putting the permitting, and they have been in touch with your county and Emily Ring and your emergency people. That was the process that they went through. They're also talking about that. They're talking about the fire risk and those sort of things. So those are being mitigated or at least discussed from the very beginning in the permitting process. So just so you know that, that is in the process of going on kind of behind the scenes right now. Because originally we received a $100,000 grant from Oregon Travel for Dollar Mountain, and the permitting process kind of slowed it down, so we can't use it. So we're not gonna be able to use all of it. But the reason it slowed down was because of the fire discussion and because of the emergency management part. And when I talked to Tori, she was actually saying that she was very happy to see that that came through the county, that those needed to be mitigated along the way. So there has been discussion going on with this all along in terms of the aspect of it being a destination and it being marketed as a destination, that the safety needs to be front loaded, not back loaded. So that discussion is happening.
Did the DMO, do they have a scoring system for, you know, we're talking about the importance of marketing our trail system and marketing hiking, biking, and the trail system and whatnot. Do they have a scoring system to say this thing rates an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10? That's what people are going to come here for. And as you know, it's a Hell's Gate excursion, a 12 or whatever. Do they take these all the assets that we have in our area? You know, proximity to Crater Lake and proximity to the availability of the coast and so on and so forth. Do they have a scoring system that they give you a chart on to let you know how important the walk, hiking, and biking is to our economy?
Well, I will tell you that Tori is meeting with Darren Fowler this coming week or sometime. I don't know if it's this week, maybe the beginning of next week. And they're having that discussion. And I will ask Tori to provide that, because I will tell you it's on a pretty high level, because right now they work as a region. You know, Soray, we all know Soray. Soray have their one Rogue Valley. What they're trying to market Southern Oregon as is outdoor recreation. Outdoor recreation includes the river, obviously. It includes bicycle. There is a bicycle park in Rogue River. There is one in Ashland. So they're trying to market this as a destination to come and stay longer and bring your bikes, because this is an outdoor recreation area. And this actually, the mountain biking and the hiking part will go into the shoulder season, because I'm not going to hike it 110 degrees in Grants Pass. I may be on the river that time, but I'm not, you know, there's a lot of shoulder time that can be used for mountain biking and hiking. And so that is how they're trying to market the region. So I'm just kind of letting you know, just from my experience working with the DMO, working with Tori, working with the board, I know it is high on their priorities. And I've also been involved with SoReady on this. And as an economic driver, it's big.
If I go out to the gun range, everybody out there that I talk to says, well, hey, by golly, it's skeet shooting that brings everybody here to Josephine County. I talk to Tyler Fleming and I talk to Dealer Range, and it's bicycles. That's all there is. And I watch intersections being all done around here because, oh, we're going to have all the pedestrians that go across, for instance, Midland and 6th Street. I go there every day, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. And I see a pedestrian probably once a month on that intersection, but we spend a ton of money on it because there's so many pedestrians and bikes and this and that and the other thing, and yet I don't see them there. There's no head count there. So I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great facility up there, and I think that it will be an attractive to some people, just like whitewater rafting is to the whitewater people. So mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Mayor, you had your hand in the air and the DJ.
Yeah.
Let's let DJ go first.
DJ?
Okay, yeah, with just a couple minutes left, I'm motivated to corral this conversation. Okay, so we have expressed interest in encumbering the property for recreational easements. It's my opinion that's a little bit silly at this point in the negotiation to be asking for those kind of things. It wouldn't be, however, if the county was interested in maintaining ownership of that property and then participating with this Dollar Mountain endeavor, but that's an assumption. What I'd like to do is basically interpret what we are saying here today in that the city has an expressed interest in that property. It's currently up for auction, and you have two people that might be interested, and that's the City of Grants Pass and the Maffitts. If you were interested in engaging in real estate negotiation on this property, my recommendation would be to pull it out of auction, and let's take the proper time to talk about what it's going to take.
Mayor? Your hand's still in the air.
Yeah, that is similar to what I was going to say. I think the council is really not interested in purchasing it at $70,000, but we are interested in working with the county to establish a way to keep the trail system open up there. And so we're hoping that you see the value in developing that. You know, we can continue to work on fire suppression on the mountain, but we were hoping, you know, that you would see the value of the partnership and pull that from auction and either work on an easement for the trail before putting it back up for auction or consider, you know, continued ownership by the county or a sale at a more reasonable price to the city.
Commissioner Bertrand, you had your hand in the air.
Maybe the best thing is to leave it on auction. If we don't get any bids, that would be to your benefit.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they came to come to that value. I really don't. They must have did some kind of comparison, I assume, but I don't have any idea how they came to that value.
So my understanding in talking with the county official is that the value of that was taken into consideration by comparing what the city paid for Dollar Mountain's 440 acres and taking a per acre cost and associated our per acre cost to the county's per acre cost. But I do believe that that is an inaccurate representation of equal value based on the number of issues that are associated with the county property.
Like I said, it might be your benefit to let us keep it on auction.
I'll just throw something out. I see the value as it becoming a portion of the city's holdings up there. It's right smack in the middle of their holdings. That's just my own personal, just looking at the map. And I realize that, yeah, there's another person that could purchase that property. And I look at this as an opportunity for the county to partner with the city in some way. And if you're saying that you're not interested in $70,000, but you would be interested in negotiating a price on it, we certainly can't give it away. Okay, we're not going to give it away. But if we want to sit down to the table, I think Helene should have been in on this thing, and I'll get a hold of her as soon as we get off of here. But and Herman, there's something to what Herman says. That, yep, let it go. If nobody bids on it, hey, now you're in the driver's seat. I would just as soon not take the chance of it going somewhere else, because I think the value in Dollar Mountain and the value in the property that we have right in the middle of Dollar Mountain, that doesn't necessarily put us in the driver's seat, but it puts us in the driver's seat to I think it needs to be our portion right in the middle needs to go to you to make your portion more whole, if that's the way to put it. I don't see it going to somebody else just because it can. I think this is an opportunity for the city and the county to work together on this thing and get it put together for your benefit, and we get a little something out of it, and away we go. If that makes any sense, maybe, I'll talk to Helene as soon as we get off here and see if, what her thoughts process is on that. Anyway, we can pull it in the last minute. We can pull anything off the auction block. There's no doubt about that.
If I may, with all due respect for Commissioner Beartrigger's sentiment there, yes, I agree that is a strategy that could be exercised. But I think the cleanest and best way to do is follow what Commissioner DeYoung just said, in that if we work together outside of the game of auctions, that when it's all said and done, we can feel good about that cooperative effort and move forward for the greatest benefit of the community. So my recommendation stands. If you pull it from auction, we're willing to go to the negotiation table with you.
Yeah, and I think there needs to be something to address the value of the land using the formula that you described to me. That's a formula per acre with access.
Yeah.
And to me, access could be a real stickler on that. If everybody said, nope, I bought it, and nope, there's only one other person I think could gain access, and that's the other private property holder.
That's not how it works.
Do you have your hand in the air? You're a bidder, Herman?
No, it's just that's not how the access profit works. I've been through it. That's why I know. And it can be expensive, but, like I said, the courts are going to let you. They're going to say whatever is the most reasonable access is that's what the courts are going to deem. And then there's just how do you add up how much the access is going to cost and blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of formulas and everything. So it's not as hard as experience as you may think it is.
Well, I don't. Another thing that we need to take into consideration, because the initial subject was a trail easement. And we granted easement across our property. Did that increase the value of it? No, it didn't. It decreased it because it's an encumbrance on that property. I would just assume the city have that property, but they don't need an easement. Doesn't encumbrance our property? I have no problem with an easement. I don't want an easement across it if it's ours. Put it that way. Let's look at it. I'll get with Helene and we'll hash this around a little bit. When did you say that auction was? End of the month?
Yes,
December 1st.
December 1st, with bids coming in November 30th.
Okay, well, I'll get a hold of her before Thanksgiving, and I'll see what her thought process is on it. I'll explain to her what your offer is and what your thought process is, and see if it's something. She's our property manager, so if she's in the loop, that's for sure, okay?
Yeah, I hope we can agree that the access issue to a third party is really a moot point, because it would benefit the community, which includes your constituents as well as ours, if we're able to develop this trail system out fully. And so hopefully we can come to some sort of agreement within the next week here where we don't need to worry about that going to a third party.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. It's a good subject to have right now, and it gives us a little bit. You didn't do it 48 hours in front of the auction, so we got a little bit of time. I appreciate that. So with that, we're coming down. Anything at the close of